It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Homelessness is more prevalent among lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people than among any other group in America. According to the Williams Institute, 40% of homeless youth in America identify as LGBT. The same statistic applies to Pittsburgh. In this segment of the program, we're looking at the circumstances that lead to homelessness among LGBT youth, its impact on society, and actions or initiatives that might make the situation better. I'm joined in Studio A by Lindsay Sickler, chair of the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Pittsburgh. Lindsay, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah.
Also with us is Nike Feliz, Associate Director of Project Silk, an HIV prevention project. Nike, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
And Terrence Austin, a Pittsburgh native who became homeless when he was in high school, joining us as well for the conversation. Terrence, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
If you have a comment or question for our guests or simply want to join the conversation and share your story with us, you can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Share your thoughts and experiences with us, 412-246-2002. Lindsay Sickler, what are the circumstances that can lead to homelessness among LGBT youth?
One of the main causes truly is rejection, being outed accidentally, families not being able to understand the experiences of a young GLBT person and not having the support to get the information so that they can be supportive of their child. Most often when a young adult is outed, there can be issues around violence. Issues around not being able to find a place to be safe because where they were safe at their own home is no longer, which is why programs like Project Silk and Service Access for Youth, which is run out of the GLCC, is so important.
What are some of the situations that you've encountered? What have you seen out there in the city of Pittsburgh that people should know about?
One of the biggest things truly is the homeless population is a little larger than the GLBT homeless population is a little larger than most would expect in Pittsburgh, because many folks that are homeless and GLBT don't necessarily come out. There's a danger to that. A lot of these kids, when they end up on the street, they can't be who they are because it would actually put them in physical danger. Some of the issues being, not being able to find a safe space, again, which is why Service Access for Youth and Project Silk are so important. Knowing that they can come somewhere and be who they are is really important. We've had clients for 6-7 months that didn't tell us when they first came in that they were GLB or T. And knowing that they can be there, they can be themselves, helps them get access to needed services in a more meaningful way.
Terrence, you fall in the age range that Lindsay is focusing on and that we're discussing in terms of the statistics today. And you're certainly someone who can put a face on all of this for us. This group that you're a part of, this age range, adults 25 and under, what were the circumstances that led to you becoming homeless?
Well, when I was a junior in high school, I went to high school with 3 or 4 of my other brothers. And so it was something that I wasn't comfortable talking to my mother about. But
about being gay.
Right. And in high school, rumors spread like wildfire. And so that's essentially what happened. And so I had 3 other brothers in the same high school, and word got back to my mother. And when I came home, there was that hostile like kind of edge. And then there was a small altercation. Well, it was a big altercation, but for a short period of time. And then she started packing my bag. So it all happened so fast. And so my mother is that she was very religious all her life, and that's what she believed. And now at the current time, my mother's coming around and she's understanding, but it's still something we just don't talk about.
Why do you suppose it is that parents have such a hard time understanding that this is who you are? and that you're looking for unconditional love and acceptance in this situation.
Well, it's funny you ask that, because my mother, now that the first time we had a conversation after we got back in contact, one of the first things she said to me was, "Oh, well, one of my best friends growing up was gay," and I'm thinking, "Well, why me?" And because it's one thing to see it and accept and be around it, but then it becomes personal when it's somebody in your family, and that's something she said. She said, "I don't mind it, but not in my family," and she's very religious, so she feels like, I don't know, parents have, especially a very religious parent, they have this image of the whole entire family in the afterlife, and I guess I was breaking that image or that mold of what she thought was what we need to be. And so she, in turn, she kicked me out for that. So
after she expressed this to you, what did you say to her? Was there anything that you felt you could say to help make her understand?
I fought so long and hard to be comfortable in the skin that I'm in, that I felt it would be a lie to tell anybody something other than who I am. So it was partially because my mom felt it could be fixed, it could be changed, it could be so many other things. We can get you treatments, we can get you this. She's very old school. And my thoughts on that matter are you can't. And since I fought so long and hard to be comfortable in the skin I'm in, I didn't want to have that for anybody. So it took a lot of mental preparation and a lot of courage to stand up to my mother and say, "Well, it's not going to change. So you have to do what you have to do." And she started packing my bags.
Right. So your mother's packing your bags and she's telling you to leave. So what did you go through in terms of trying to find a place to live and getting the help that you needed? You were how old at this point?
I was late 16, early 17. So
you're not even an adult and you're being thrown out of your home. What did you do?
Well, there were a bunch of legal things that could have happened, being that I was under 18, but I didn't want to bring that kind of tension in between the family. So what I did was, for the first 3 weeks, I bounced around from house to house with friends. And I mean, I'm in high school, so I had a bunch of friends. They didn't really know what was going on. There was one person, my best friend, and Lindsay, who knew what was going on. But I bounced around from friend to friend's home, until I wore out my welcome. And then I had to pull other resources and Lindsay.
Well, what is set up? I mean, when a situation like this happens, Lindsay or Nike, you know, here's Terrence. He's not an adult. He's being thrown out of his home. So where is the safety net? What is provided for someone who is in a situation like his?
Well, at Project Silk, we have a person that links all the youth into services for different things. But housing is definitely one of the main things that people come there for. So the first thing is to establish what situation they're in, how young they are, because things it makes a difference, and then try to place them into a place where they're going to be safe and not threatened by people who don't understand their position.
And Nike, why is it that parents are having such a hard time accepting a situation like in Terrence's case? He's being open and honest and trying to explain himself in the best way that he can. Is there anything that is happening that your organization is doing, or maybe Lindsay with what's happening with your group that is trying to educate parents and help them to get to a point where they can be more accepting of their children?
Well, it's not just parents, it's the society at large. Yes. And our goal is to educate society at large. And one of the things that shows reduction of stigma, once people are exposed and they know someone who is from the population, then they start to see, oh, it's not that much of a difference from what's going on in my life or in any other, you know, we have a lot of the same struggles. And so it starts to reduce that stigma. And but the stigma is so strong that people stay in the closet and don't share their personal perspective. And one of the things that we try to do is provide a safe space for them to be first to Yes. be comfortable with themselves. Once they start to be comfortable with themselves and with their peers, then they can start to move on and be out about who they are with their families.
Lindsay, what housing laws are in place to address this problem?
As I'm not up to date on housing laws, unfortunately, but what I can tell you is that there are several agencies that work very hard to specifically get housing for folks that are GLBT. There is Community Human Services, which has atypical housing, and they're one of our first go-to folks. And then also for folks that are trans, there are a couple of shelters that will actually take them in with some special caveats. They have to have their own room, or they need to shower early or late before the rest of the populace. So we try to work with the resources where they are, and if they are willing to work with our population and we can come to an understanding where everybody can be as comfortable as possible, we move forward.
We're talking about the problem of homelessness. A high percentage of homeless youth are identify as LGBT, and this is a problem particularly in Pittsburgh, where 40% of homeless youth identify as LGBT. And our guests who are discussing the situation: Lindsay Sickler, chair of the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Pittsburgh; Nike Feliz, associate director of Project Silk, an HIV prevention project; and also Terrence Austin, a Pittsburgh native who became homeless when he was in high school. You can share your comments or questions with us at 412-246-2002. Nike Feliz, some of the problems, some of the challenges that transgender youth face in Pittsburgh, especially those of color, are associated with HIV/AIDS. Talk about how this is a particular problem for these particular youths.
Well, it's something that it's particularly for the trans population. It's really difficult because, especially if you're young and you're just starting to transition, you may not be passable or look like the gender that you're becoming. And the stigma is so strong that one of the things that they have to resort to is probably sex for exchange for home or food or whatever that they need. So that's one of the main things that contributes to the HIV and AIDS epidemic. And so the trans population is particularly, I think, affected, but it also affects all homeless LGBT youth. I think there was a statistic that between homeless youth, LGBT youth were more likely to be in some kind of sex work, which, of course, exposes them to HIV and other STIs.
Terrence, you ended up joining the military, the Army National Guard. How has that worked out for you?
Well, surprisingly well. I was nervous going in. Because, we all have our perceptions of what the military is and the screaming and yelling and how conservative they are. They just repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell not too long ago. So I was very nervous, to say the least. And I found that it's truly not all, but it's a huge generational thing. My generation and people around my age, we're very... they tend to be more open-minded, more people in my generation. And so people I was going through boot camp and that kind of stuff with were open-minded. And I went to the only all-male installation in the entire military, which is Fort Benning, Georgia, where they train the infantry. And so that was exciting. I was nervous about that factor of it, but it worked out.
So you felt that you were accepted for who you are?
Not at the jump start. And so it was a don't ask, don't tell kind of situation. But if they asked, I told. And
had don't ask, don't tell been repealed by the time you got to the military?
It had been. I had enlisted beforehand, because with the National Guard, you can enlist and then ship off to boot camp and AIT later. So I enlisted in September. I think it was very recent, right before they passed it. And then I shipped off to boot camp in March of the following year, so March of 2012. And
so when you got down there, you were still a little bit guarded about?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
And then – but then you felt you could discuss it, at least with some of the people you were there with.
Majority of my seniors and my senior NCOs and my chain of command is that older generation that kind of makes me a little leery. Mm-hmm. But it was an eye-opener because when I got there, there was a guy who's a master sergeant who's an E-8, which he has close to his 20 years into retirement, who was they call it getting chewed out. And he lost his – they were discharging him right in his papers that day because he had called another soldier a slur. Because drill sergeants –
a gay slur.
Right, correct. And drill sergeants have this thing. They just throw out all kind of terms to motivate you. They call it motivation, negative motivation. And they scream and yell to make you do what they want you to do. And they slip at the tongue sometimes. But they made it known, and you make an example out of one soldier. And for somebody with as much experience as him and letting him go on the spot like that, they made an example out of him. He started getting discharged that day. So that was kind of an eye-opener, and I witnessed that before my eyes. So that made me a little more comfortable knowing that they enforce whatever they have to. What their command says is what they have to enforce, our commander-in-chief, which is the president. So,
Lindsay and Nike, what would you say needs to happen to address the high percentage of homeless LGBT youth in Pittsburgh?
It would be great for more funding to be made available for these programs. And I think that's kind of the swan song of all nonprofits, is everybody's asking for more money. But truly, the money is very small when it comes to doing any kind of homeless programming. And as a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why our collaboration is so large. We have 22 different organizations that do homeless outreach or work with the homeless population in some way, young adult, in order to make, say, work. And it's great to have that level of collaboration, but it would be even better if we didn't have to kind of play chess with the money to get the things that the kids need at the time there.
And what would you say is the impact on society when it comes to this high percentage of homeless LGBT youth? Do people fully grasp how it impacts life here in Pittsburgh? Nike, what would you say?
I don't think so, because when you have a whole segment of society that's stigmatized and kept down, it affects the rest of society, and I don't think people really understand how that affects everyone else involved. People who could have contributed to society in a lot of different ways aren't contributing because they don't have a place to sleep or don't know where their next food is going to meal is coming from. So we really need to do a lot of education, and particularly in a lot of these shelters. Because some of the problems that youth run into is when they go into shelters, they are not discriminated, not just by the people that are there, but by the staff that are working these places. So we need more education, more LGBT-friendly places where they can come and feel comfortable, yes, and more funding, like Lindsay was saying.
Yeah.
We have a Twitter question. Sue writes, Bill Peduto said his administration would work with Allegheny County Services on homelessness. What do you think the city can do, Lindsay?
I think the city could provide some more guidelines, provide some more. Again, I'm going to go back to the money thing. Mm-hmm. For specific programs outreaching to GLBT and straight homeless young adults, because the impact on self-esteem, on the ability to feel like they can make a positive impact, on being able to feel like they can stand on their own two feet, it's devastating when they don't even know where they're going to sleep.
Terrence, do you think that society is – you mentioned that younger generations of people are more accepting. To them, the issue of LGBT issues, the issue of gay marriage, to them it's not an issue. That everybody, as far as the younger generation as a whole generally, is more accepting of the evolution that we're seeing in society. 20 years from now, someone in your situation, how do you see them still ending up on the street, or do you think that society is changing?
I believe society is definitely changing, and I see that in the generational thing. And it's funny because I see 7 and 8 year olds who are who are becoming themselves. Early and earlier, people are starting to come out the closet and they're starting to be themselves. And so it's definitely a generational thing. And now we have parents my age. So I definitely think in 20 years, a person wouldn't have a problem like being put out from their parents. It depends. It depends. It definitely boils down to your upbringing, and some families are still very religious. I still have friends who are kind of like really religious that are my age. So it depends. It definitely depends.
We've been talking about the issue of homelessness among LGBT youth in Pittsburgh, and I want to thank all of our guests for being with us today. Lindsay Sickler is chair of the Gay and Lesbian Community Center of Pittsburgh. Lindsay, great thanks to you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also, Nike Feliz, associate director of Project Silk, an HIV prevention project. Thank you, Nike.
Thank you.
And also to Terrence Austin, Pittsburgh native who became homeless when he was in high school, now a member of the National Guard. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll tell you how Pennsylvania is strengthening its stalking laws to include strangers. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.